people, there's ladies that crawl underneath the tables back there at the in the kitchen. You got to watch your feet. Hey, man, it was such a sight. We got such a kick out of that and had a little fun with the ladies. They were back there. They were still laughing about it. But it was at my feet where she came crawling out. Praise the Lord. But, amen. Want to thank everybody for the hospitality and the welcomeness. But I've found I've went through a few camp meetings across this land, but God's people are the same. Amen. God's people are good. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I'm going to just talk for just a second, get the bugs out. Been pastoring almost 9 years, and I'm more nervous now than and been in a while. Amen. But Brother Holden preached the other night about God's word, the truth, and that just was helping me in my message. And Brother Lloyd preached what he did on the gates of hell, just got even closer. And I'm thankful for the building up to what I have on my heart this morning. I have great, great admiration for your pastor. You see, he's a better friend than I am. See, he came down and preached for me, him and Brother Jeff. We was doing our best to accommodate him. And then after a couple days, this was in January, and it's cold in January. And after a couple days, Brother Randy came to me and says, "Brother, do we have hot water back here? We have evangelist quarters, but we don't always turn the hot water heater on when we're not using it." So for 2 days, Brother Randy was taking cold showers. Amen, in January. He says, "How about some hot water?" I said, "Well, you preach a little bit better. We'll turn the hot water on." Praise God. Amen. But anyway, I appreciate the opportunity to minister to you all this morning. And I'm not going to have no great truth that's going to wow you. I'm about like that black man said to that preacher one day. He said, "Preacher, don't preach nothing new. I already knows more than I does." Amen. Oh, so, amen. It's just going to be some beans and taters this morning. But I really believe I have something. Amen. I really do. If we can just grab a hold of it and hold on to it, I believe we'll see a lot more victories in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn to the book of John, chapter 8. John, chapter 8. And I'm going to read one verse. If you'd stand in reverence to God's word, if you're able, in verse 44. John chapter 8, verse 44, and the word of God said, "Ye of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father, ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it." All right, preachers, get your pencil and papers out and write this title down, because it's very, very deep. The title of my message, the Lord helped me a little while, is "Liar, Liar, Pants on Fire." Praise the Lord. Brother Jeff, if you would please pray. may be seated in God's presence. Liar, liar, pants on fire. As growing up, kids would have sayings and things they would say. And as a kid, I remember this is my childhood. When somebody would tell a big one, you would just look at him and saying, liar, liar, pants on fire. You know, the devil, we got to look at who he is. We got to look at what he does. And we have to remember of who's talking to us a lot of times. You know, in the Word of God, I see three angels that were named. Michael, the archangel, the angel of war and battle. Gabriel, the messenger angel who went about delivering messages. But we hardly even think of the third angel. His name was Lucifer. Amen. The shining one. The bright and morning star. A lot of commentators would say that they, in their opinions, that Lucifer was overshadowed the throne of God, was over the music in heaven. And that's the reason why here on earth he has such power and moving people with music. Amen. Because of his influence. But he was one of the three major angels of heaven. He convinced, he lied, amen, to one third of the angels to come and leave Almighty God and follow him. Amen. Because he was so great and beautiful. You know what? He was the first being to sin. Let's turn to Isaiah 40:14-12. Isaiah, I didn't even have it marked, but we'll get there. Isaiah 14:12. Oh, art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst awaken the nation? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. He's already lying. He's lying to himself. He's lying to his fellow angels. I will exalt myself. Amen. Above the God Almighty. I will sit also upon the mount of congregation. I will in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like Most High God. Oh, he was lying. He was telling a big one. He was so convincing, though. He convinced one third of God's holy angels to follow after him. Then he was the first to lie here on earth. Genesis chapter 3, in the garden. Amen. Where there was no sin, where there was no rebellion against God, Satan said to Eve, chapter 3 and verse 4 and 5, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Oh, he was lying in a sense that no, they won't die physically, but they died that spiritual death that day they took of the tree. And then he continued on, for God doth know in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Oh, he just laid the big old lie on top of Eve, telling her, you won't die. You'll be the same you are now. As a matter of fact, you will be like gods. Oh, he he's still believing that lie even to himself. And he spread that lie to Eve. And Eve was deceived. And she took of the fruit and gave to her husband Adam. And he didn't eat also. But let me tell you, it's all because of the great liar. It was all because of that Lucifer, that fallen angel. Amen. He spoke those lies. Amen. But a lie is no good unless there's someone there to believe the lie. Bill Clinton. You ever hear of Bill Clinton? You didn't have to say that, brother. But he was from Arkansas also. Amen. And he made a statement one time. He said, if you tell a lie long enough, people will begin to believe it as the truth. Perfect example of a lie that people believe it's actually there. In our Constitution, the lie is there's a separation of church and state. But that's not in the Constitution. But it's been told and told and told so many times, people actually believe that it's in our Constitution. The Constitution just states that there will be no government to establish religion. There's a big difference. Amen there. But let me tell you, the devil is a liar. He's a good liar. Amen. I want to question you. What lies has he told you already in this church service this morning? So I had just established who's telling these lies this morning. But I'm going to debunk some of the lies that he has told the church over and over and over again. I've heard preachers quoting his lies. Holiness preachers. Amen, he has. But I tell the devil right now, liar, liar, pants on fire. First lie I want to debunk this morning. That God doesn't heal no more. It might not be God's will to heal no more. It might not be God's desire to heal anymore. Has he ever told you that? Has the devil ever told you, you can't get no healing? It might not be God's will. You can't get no healing. God don't do that no more. You can't get no healing. You don't deserve it. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Amen. Let me tell you, oh, God still heals. God still desires to heal. Amen. It's still God's will to heal. Amen. No one would ever go up to a sinner, amen, that wants to get saved. And he said, wait a minute. Let's pray and see if this is God's will or not. Amen. But we have got, the devil has lied so much that people's got doubts in their minds. When they come up for prayer, they have to battle the doubt. Is this God's will or not first? But let me tell you, we can stand on God's word and believe that healing is for the children of God. The word says that the healing is the bread for the children. It's God's children. Amen. Psalms 103:3. Amen says, praise the Lord. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? I'm so thankful there's no sin. Amen. That God Well, you know, we're not talking about the blaspheme of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking, amen, everything else, amen. God forgiveth all iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Amen. Let me tell you, there's no inclusions there. You know, there's no side mark here. It heals all except cancer. It heals all except tuberculosis. It heals all except high blood pressure. It heals all except blood sugar. It heals all except whatever you want to put in that blank. The word all is inclusive. The blood of Jesus Christ, who forgiveth all of our iniquities and healeth all thy diseases. Amen. James chapter 5. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. You may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Verse 15, above that, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The faith shall raise him up. And if thou have committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Let me tell you, the healing is for the church. Amen. I've never seen Jesus turn anybody around. I've never seen Jesus turn anybody away saying, I'm sorry, I can't heal you today. It's not God's will. Amen. The church, amen. You look through church history, amen. It was one of the pillars of the church. It was one of the things that the people of God believed in. It was one of the foundations of the church. Amen. Is the devil reason the devil hates healing? It's because one thing is because it helps God's people, but another thing is it's a witness to the world. Amen. You look all through God's word where Jesus performed the miracles. Amen. What drew them to his teachings? What drew the crowd to the church? It was healings. It was miracles. And the devil's telling the church, God don't heal no more. You're a liar. Brother Jeff, stand up. Amen. If you weren't here, amen. That's a witness. God still heals. Lydia Ruth, stand up. My wife said, don't embarrass. You can sit down. Amen. I could have made her stand up, so I was showing grace and mercy. My wife, when we got married, she was diagnosed with endometriosis. She had it. She's had it her whole life. Got too so severe that the doctors wanted to do a hysterectomy. She believed God. She trusts God. God completely healed her, restored her body. Lydia Ruth is the proof of it, and she's still healed today. Devil, you're a liar. God still heals. It's still God's will to heal. Don't let the devil lie to you and tell him it's not for you. Amen. You come up believing. You come up expecting. Amen. And if God doesn't heal, it's on mine and your part. It's not on his part. Amen. But healing is for you. I've had preachers tell me, you can't say that, brother. You can't say it's God's will to heal. Well, how's anybody ever going to die? Boy, they're putting my God in a little bitty box, isn't they? God doesn't have to use sickness or disease to take us home. We could just lay our head down on our pillow at night and wake up in glory, can't we? Oh, let me tell you, God is big enough God that he don't have to use disease. Oh, our Savior, let me tell you, oh, when he was stripped down and tied to that whipping post and he took those stripes upon his back, let me tell you, that had nothing to do with our salvation. The only reason he did that, amen, the only reason he almost died on that post from the terrible beating he got. Every lash took away skin. Amen. Every lash took away the flesh until they say even his entrails were showing. But let me tell you, he did it for your healing. Amen. He had nothing to do with salvation. That was on the cross. The only reason he did it was for you and me. Isaiah 53:6, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Devil, you're a liar. Church, we need to tell the devil, you're a liar. We need to start believing God again. Amen. Don't let the devil talk you out of your healing. Liar, liar. Pants on fire. The next thing I want to touch on. Amen. That I see running rampant through this great holiness movement, the best thing going around. I believe it is. This holiness movement that we fellowship in, we church in, I think it's the best thing going. But I'm beginning to see decay. I'm beginning to see where it's some places, some churches, some towns, some states, they're just letting down a little bit at a time. Devil is telling you, it don't take holiness no more. It doesn't take living a sanctified life no more. You know, preachers not preaching it as tight as they did once before. Amen. We're all just going to heaven together, aren't we? We're wrapping our arms around the liberal churches. Amen. We're hard to say. Amen. That's going to take holiness, a sanctified life to go to heaven. Not everybody's going. I wish they was, but not everybody's not going to heaven. Amen. It's going to be those that are blood-bought, sanctified. Amen. And on their way to heaven. Amen. You're not going to be practicing sin and gracing the doors of heaven. Amen. But let me tell you, the devil's a liar. Amen. And it's going to be a sanctified person. Amen. A bona fide child of God to go to heaven. Amen. And no matter who it is. Revelation 19:7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Oh, let me tell you, who is that wife? Who is that bride? It is the church. It is us. It is the blood-bought church. Amen. Let me tell you, it's going to take those that have made themselves ready. I know God helps, but I have found in my life, I'm just talking about mine, amen, but 90% of the stuff that I've had to give up, I've had to do it on my own. Amen. I've got what God preachers would get up, amen, I would have to start shucking. When I read in God's word, I'd have to start shucking. Amen. God helps and he encourages, but a lot of times I've made myself ready. The devil says, you're all right. God looks at the heart, the preacher said last night. God doesn't look on the outside. God doesn't concern. God understands Oh, yes, he does. God does understand. Amen. Do you know what the number one color for brides' dresses are nowadays? It's not white no more. The number one color is pink. Has that slipped over into the church? Oh, our garments are supposed to be how? White, spotless, without spot or wrinkle. Amen. Oh, let me tell you, it might be the most fashionable color in the world no more, but let me tell you, every bride of Christ, amen, is going to have a white garment on. It's going to be spotless. It's going to be without wrinkle. It's going to be with any such thing. The devil might try to talk you into another color. The devil might try to tell you it's not that important no more, but I'm telling you right now, by the authority of God's word, that white is still the color of choice. White is still the color that the bride's going to be dressed and adorned in. And the church and the people of God will have that garment on. Matthew chapter 7. I don't know, being a pastor, you hear a lot of things. You hear a lot of comments. You hear a lot of people say things to you. Amen. And one of the things I've heard is said, well, will God really send you to hell over that? Is that really bad enough that God is going to send you to hell? Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. I begin to preach and teach around my church, amen, even a tighter than if it's sin or not. Verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. Let me tell you, there might be some things that we preach and teach, amen, that has to be applied. You know, TV is not mentioned nowhere in the Word of God. Amen. There's a lot of other things that worldly amusements and such as this, amen, that's not in the Word of God. But let me tell you, let's apply it to Matthew 17:7-21. Is it God's will, amen, for you to do this? Amen. Will God give his approval to it? If you got down and prayed and sought God, would God say it was okay? Amen. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, not everyone that gives in the offering, not everyone that sings in the choir, not everyone who's got the name on the roll is going to heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father, amen. Let me tell you, there's a lot of things in this life, amen, it might not meet whether it's sin or not, but it will meet this test right here, whether it's God's will or not. The devil will say, oh, you're a lot better than the people down the road. You're a lot better than the church up the road. But let me tell you what will apply this rule to our life. Amen. Does the things that we consume, the things we see, the things we do. Oh, let this, real quick. I went to my room, take my afternoon nap. You know what camp meetings are for, brother? The afternoon naps? My wife said, well, I'm going shopping. Ain't that what camp meetings are for the women? Go shopping in the afternoons? So she went somewhere, was in line. I hope she ain't here. But if she is, praise God. I don't know who.
The
Lord
will be done, brother.
But my wife was in line, and she's seen this elderly holiness lady in the checkout line. And all of a sudden, when she saw my wife, she hid something underneath her purse. She just picked up some. She's looking at some of that garbage, you know, you see on the aisle, you know, the National Enquirer, you know, and But my wife, she said, I don't understand. She don't know who I am. She don't, she, you know, I'm visiting. I'm not even the pastor's wife here. But let me tell you, the devil has gotten a lot of lies out there, letting people down the standard just a little bit, to water it down just a little bit. Oh, he's getting preachers, amen. You can't put nothing on their life, but you can't put nothing on what they're preaching either. Let me tell you, amen, they will not preach the gospel. Amen, they will not preach the whole truth. Amen, they'll live it, but they won't preach it. Amen, they won't, they're afraid, we don't want to drive people away. I had a holiness preacher tell me, I ain't going to preach on stuff. I don't want to drive people away. They can look at me and my wife and see how to live. Let me tell you, devil, you're a liar. Liar, pants on fire. It's going to take a sanctified life, amen, to go to heaven. What's it say in Hebrews? Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. If we get back to that in our minds, that it's holiness or hell. I used to hear that a lot more than I do anymore. But it's still the truth. The last point. I got 3 points. I ain't got no poem, brother. Well, my last point. The first two was the generalization to the whole church, the churches of America. I believe in healing. I believe in holiness. But this last lie, I'm reaching out to at least one individual. I don't know who it is. It might be more than one. But I know God woke me up Monday morning, 3:30 in the morning, for somebody. A lie that God's telling you. Let's turn to 1 Peter 5 and 7. First Peter 5 and 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Surely, Brother Chaney, somebody's not in the church house this morning and they're believing the lie that the devil's been telling them, that God really doesn't care, that God isn't concerned, that God doesn't know where you're at. Let me tell you, the devil's a liar. Let me tell you, the devil is a liar. Amen. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The Lord is, you're mindful of the Lord, that the Lord is on his, you're on his mind. The devil wants to diminish just how much the Lord cares for you and loves you. Amen. He sees every sparrow that falls, but doesn't the word say, ye are more value than many sparrows? Don't believe the lie. Amen. Don't believe, amen, the great lie that the devil is telling you, that you are worthless. You're a nobody. Nobody cares in the church. God doesn't care who you are or what you're going through. You're just a throwaway. You're a vagabond. You're of no use to the kingdom of God. Amen. There's what's the use even going to church? Isaiah 49, and I'm about done. Verse 14, but Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me. My God has forgotten me. But Zion said, the Lord hath forgotten me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on her son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet I will not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. When the devil tells you you're nothing, when the devil tells you you're just trash, you tell him, devil, you're a liar. God has me on the palm of his hands. He sees me continually. He hasn't forgotten me. He has me in his mind. He's for me. Oh, let me tell you, we've lost that in the church. We come in sometime with our heads tucked between our tails, forgetting of who we are. We're the child of God, and we are the apple of his eye, and he loves us so much that he gave his only begotten son for us. He cherishes us. Amen. But the devil wants to lie to us. Liar, liar, pants on fire. You know the devil can't tell the truth. And God can't tell a lie. Isn't that funny how that works out? Oh, but how, why is it that we have such a hard time listening to the great liar? Why is it that we will even give him attention? Why is it that we'll even give him an ear? Amen. Have you ever met somebody in the flesh that lied? And you, next time they told you something, you was kind of leery. You know, had to hold it with a grain of mustard, and you just, you know, just whether it's the truth or not. But yet we'll listen to the devil lie after lie after lie. He is good. He convinced a third of the angels of heaven. He's lied through the centuries. He's lied to the church. How many lies has he told you this morning? Has he told you a lie this morning? Well, just let him know what you think of him. Liar, liar, pants on fire. He's a liar and the father of it. And let's just put him back in his place, and let's just start believing God and his promises. How about it?